All right, we are back. In this segment, we are joined by our old friend Stuart Gardner to talk about, well, various things. Welcome back, Stuart.
Thanks, Doug.
I think what we're going to start talking about here, if it's okay with you, is what's going on in the Middle East. In particular, what's going on in regards to missiles. Apparently, the Israelis have got a new system that they're talking about.
Yeah, the new Arrow missile interceptor system, which we've paid for, or at least partially paid for.
Paid for half of it.
Yeah. It's amazing to me that we're actually so close to the Israelis that we would give them literally hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars and all the sensitive technology. I didn't realize we were so
Israel
close
is the,
together
is the,
with
the
them.
Number one recipient of U.S. aid, and Egypt is number two, which is basically the same thing. It's aid to the same area for the same purpose to ensure peace.
I guarantee we're not sharing information with Egypt like we are with Israel.
No, I don't suppose we are, and I don't think that probably people are aware of the fact that the Israel has probably 100 nuclear weapons and has had them thanks to U.S. help looking the other way or just outright helping and subsidizing the Israeli nuclear program, which, when you think about it, putting nuclear weapons in the Middle East maybe wasn't such a good idea.
No, definitely not a good idea, but the Israelis were probably sharp enough they would have come up with a formula for making a bomb anyway. But the Arrow missile system began development right after the Gulf War when the Iraqis shot some Scud missiles into Israel, and they attempted to use these Patriot missiles that we had so nicely lent them to shoot them down.
Actually, they weren't terribly interested in the Patriots. We offered them to Israel, and they were sort of like, yeah, whatever, we don't think they work.
Actually, there was a real interesting debate in Israel whether or not they should have an anti-missile system at all until the Iraqis start firing missiles into them. And then things changed quickly, and they got the Patriots.
And yet most of those Scuds broke up. They didn't do a substantial amount of injury to the Israeli countryside. They're more a terror weapon.
Yeah.
And certainly Saddam Hussein, which is very relevant to our discussions as to what's going on in the world right now, certainly Saddam Hussein was not about to launch a serious missile attack using biological or chemical weapons against Israel because he would face retribution with atomic weapons.
Yes, absolutely. And I actually think that now with the present government in Israel, if he fired missiles, then I think they would steamroll him. I think they would fire back.
Well,
maybe
Ariel,
even with nukes.
Ariel Sharon certainly doesn't appear to be exercising much restraint at the U.S. looking at him and saying, you know, tisk, tisk, we kind of wish you wouldn't do some of that.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Drive the tanks into the Arafat's compound, and it's amazing.
Well, in future shows, we are going to address at some great length the situation as we see it over in the Middle East and try and give a fair and balanced presentation of what the facts are. But today, let's just talk a little bit about a little bit more about the missile situation. Now, getting on the freeway 2 weeks ago, I happened to see a launch from Vandenberg. I had a ringside seat right as I got on the freeway, and there's nothing like it. It's spectacular watching these things go up. We launched them from Vandenberg, and they land out in Kwajalein in the atoll out in Micronesia. And we're spending an awful lot of money for this supposed missile.
That must have been really neat. Was it early in the morning or
afternoon, right at dusk? It's a spectacular thing. I remember seeing them. Actually, I remember in college over at the WebM dorm going up and seeing one of these things go off and like this big Roman candle. It's something to behold. Nice fireworks. Whether it actually has practical value in terms of missile defense, I have my doubts. I think that the SDI is a crazy thing that we're spending money on. And I just don't know whether this system in Israel is going to do much good. We should probably go over, and you and I know this, I don't know that the audience does know this, the actual assessment of how well the Patriot worked against the Scuds in 1991.
Yeah, the Patriot missile system was developed in the 60s, and at the Gulf War, it was widely reported that the Patriots were unbelievably successful, and I remember feeling, oh my God, this is great.
Oh yeah.
We were able to intercept
these
things.
Maybe it worked better than I thought.
And the truth of the matter is that the Patriots didn't work hardly at all, and one of the reasons they didn't work is they weren't designed to intercept missiles, and the Scuds would break up, and the Patriots couldn't lock onto the warhead, and they failed miserably.
Well, while the U.S. media was reporting that there's a spectacular success, President George Bush I claimed that 41 of 42 Scuds had been shot down. The Army claimed that 45 of 47s were shot down. The Israeli intelligence said, we think they got one, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, it was not very successful.
And then they started looking into this. Professors here in this country started looking at the evidence, and they concluded that, oh my God, they didn't actually shoot down any Scuds.
Yeah, and Almost immediately, though, after the attacks in Israel, the Israelis started developing a different missile system, one that would not wait till the last moment to be fired,
right,
but one rather that could intercept them in mid-trajectory or maybe even earlier. And the way the Arrow system seems to be set up is that U.S. spy satellites will actually detect the launch, and there's an Israeli ground commander who's there. It hits the radar. And right. He decides whether or not to push the button to attempt to intercept in mid-trajectory. And they're hoping that gives them a lot better results this time around.
Well, if missiles do fly in the Middle East, we'll get a chance to assess. Perhaps we'll get a chance to assess whether any of this nonsense really works. I should cite one of the most famous examples of doublespeak in recent American history relating to the Patriots in the Gulf War. Brigadier General Robert Drollet claimed that President Bush had not lied when it was later shown that they hadn't shot down missiles. What it was the word intercept had been redefined. It no longer meant destroyed. It now meant a Patriot and a Scud had passed in the sky. So that report you got about the criminal that left Oakland that the Sacramento police intercepted on 80 that you thought meant they found the car, no, it just meant that the guy drove east and the other car drove west and they passed on I-80. How do these guys do it? They say this, and it's like, but yet I don't think that's generally that well appreciated by the public, that the Scud missile, the Patriot interaction in the Gulf War, was simply not what it was presented to be.
No, I don't think people realize it even now. But the Israelis actually have kept the Patriots as last-ditch defense. So all right. Maybe they've changed the electronics. Maybe they'll have better luck with those also.
I don't know.
After 12 years of technological breakthroughs, you never know.
Well, I have my doubts. Let's put it that way. We'll follow the story as it continues to break. Well, here's a matter of judgment to discuss, Stuart. Apparently, in Saturday's paper, last Saturday's paper, talked about the Cal Aggies moving up to Division I. And a lot of people think this is a good idea.
Oh, Doug, you and I are both graduates of UC Davis,
uh-huh.
And I think it's a fantastic idea.
Really?
Which should have been done years and years ago.
Okay, well, I think it's a completely insane idea, so I'm curious to know how you can possibly say that.
Number one, UC Davis is never going to be a top-rated school without having a top-rated athletic program.
Stop.
I'm not going to stop.
UC Davis already is a top-rated school.
Good school.
It doesn't have
in
Division
the country. And they've got good school athletics to go with it.
They
look
do?
At Stanford,
Caltech,
Berkeley,
MIT.
Well, I bet they did in the old days. Certainly, you know, Harvard in the old days, they used to be good at football.
Yeah, but now they're not, and they're still Harvard.
That's true. But so they all have to start there.
There's no correlation whatsoever between a fine institution of higher education and sports.
Of course there is. It's named recognition, Doug. You'll never get name recognition without getting these sports programs on the tube so that everyone in the country sees them. After a while, that starts generating interest, and it actually brings your school more money. And money can be used to pay for research centers, for all kinds of great things, which help bolster your school.
When I went off to attend medical school in Southern California, my girlfriend was an alumnus, if you want to call it that, of University of Southern California. So I had a chance to see up close and personal what it's like to have a big Division I football team that's aiming for the national championship.
You're not going to pick
just tell
a
you,
poor little USC,
those
are you?
People are crazy.
Well, let's talk about Stanford.
Would you consider Stanford a very good school?
They're Division I school.
I don't think I ever have to worry about the fact that if a UC Davis athlete is shown in the news for whatever reason, that I ever have to be embarrassed at listening to this guy trying to string sentences together, looking like a bozo, people thinking like this guy is a college graduate, like you do with many other football programs in this country.
Yeah, but I think you're comparing this to these schools that don't have very good athletics programs, and you should be comparing them to places such as Stanford, such as Berkeley. And these places produce pro-caliber athletes that don't look like morons and that the schools aren't embarrassed by. And I think UC Davis could be having the same type of program.
Why does UC Davis have to compete in Division I football and other sports?
Advertising, money.
So?
Money so that you can afford the Super Collider, so that you can afford better stuff.
Stuart, one of the great scandals of modern American life is the fact that we depend upon football revenues to supposedly pay for education. and it's the tail wagging the dog.
Yeah.
If people should know already that UCD, when it many has many wonderful departments, is nationally, of a national caliber in many, many different areas.
People should know, but people anywhere outside of the state of California or maybe in the West Coast don't. And the reason for that is because we don't get the advertising.
That's true.
If we got the advertising, people back in New York would know how good our school is.
Nonsense. People know whether you have a good biology department who are supposed to know that. The guy pumping gas in Ohio may not have heard of the UC Davis Cal Aggies. But I don't somehow think that that's really a big factor. I mean, so what?
I had an interesting incident happen to me. I moved back to Indiana,
right?
And I went and told my aunt, yeah, I went to UC Davis. She had no idea where that was.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't mean anything to anybody. And I was looking for a job. And had people known what a great school UC Davis was, it would have helped me. And I think this would help all of the UC Davis graduates if they had a great athletic program.
Wait. But I don't think your aunt was doing any hiring at the law firm, was she?
No. But have you looked at the new UC Davis mascot, the new emblem, the new horse?
No.
Well, the reason they put this new emblem is so that we look better to the outside world. And the reason we go to Division I is so that the outside world hears about us. And if we dominate Division I like we've dominated in Division II, pretty soon we're going to be, I think, nationally recognized.
I'm not sorry, just
at the graduate level with just a few eggheads.
I have a complete disconnect between this idea of being nationally recognized by guys with their beer in front of the tube watching football games and by people who count. People who are aware of which has a good program.
Let's pretend for a moment that you are a veterinarian and you're from Florida. And
yeah.
You're thinking about going to two schools.
Uh-huh.
And one is UC Davis and the other is, you know, some little like Caldova State in North Carolina you've never heard of. Where are you going to go?
Stuart, if the guy in Florida is not aware of the fact that UCD has a fine vet school, if he's getting his information by sitting in front of the tube on Saturday afternoon watching who's playing on the TV, the guy can stay in Florida. We can take our vets from someplace else.
You'll make more money if you have a good Division I football team than if you don't have a good Division I football team. It will give you national recognition.
And
maybe you're right. Maybe the guy who's sitting at home in Florida who's actually going to go to vet school, no, but maybe his aunt won't. And if the aunt has heard of UC Davis versus Caldova State, she's going to tell the kid, hey, go to UC Davis. They got a great football team.
You know, I'm sorry. Going off to medical school and seeing like the kids from USC and the kids from Davis, I mean, the kids from Davis were better prepared. Well, and all USC is a much more famous university nationwide. I just don't think that, I don't think it was up to scratch.
Well, I think the Greek ideal is something that we still aspire to. Strong mind, strong body. And I think going Division I makes all the sense in the world. If for no other reason, you get more money. And if you've got more money, you can buy more research equipment. It just will help Davis get to the next level.
We are living in a nation where we have recruiting scandals, where alumni are buying guys cars. They're like, it's a national disgrace.
Yeah, look at the University of Michigan as an example.
I want my school to have no part of that. That is just one of the aspects of American life that is absolutely shameful. We look at like every Saturday, you look at like, you know, the polls. It's like, who cares whether you're like in the top 10? These guys, they want winning football. That's all they care about. When O.J. Simpson, I know this from people that went to SC. I hate to keep picking on SC,
You're after SC, aren't you, Doug?
Well, I know this one for a fact from SC. When O.J. Simpson was a tailback down there, he had a guy assigned to him to make sure that he went to class and stayed eligible to be a tailback.
Well, maybe you could give me some examples from Stanford or from Berkeley. Either one. How about the University of Washington? They're a pretty good school. Give me an example of somebody that's out there and he's got a job and
I don't know.
The sprinklers come on automatically. It's ridiculous, Doug. You keep giving these rinky-dink schools like SC that no one really likes, and I would argue, I'd also argue that they are not nationally recognized as a good academic school. So why don't you give me some examples from, say, Stanford?
I don't know. I mean, how many, there are guys that go to Stanford that wind up like Gene Washington, wind up playing, you know, for the 49ers. I mean, obviously together kind of guys. John Elway apparently got a decent education, that were, you know, involved in sports, but...
You know, Ken O'Brien was a quarterback for the Jets, and he went to UC Davis. And every time the Jets would play,
they had to explain,
UC Davis,
Cal Davis. I know,
UC it was Davis like, would right. get mentioned. Now, mm-hmm. there are a lot of people in New York that have heard of UC Davis because of one guy. And this makes a huge difference. And I think you're being very short-sighted.
I don't think it makes any difference at all in terms of people who matter.
Really? So how much do you think that advertising is worth? If you had to buy that,
God help us. That's all I can say. God help us if we have to depend upon football revenues and name recognition from the guys that read nothing but the sporting pages on Saturday to see where their teams rank. That's all
I
got to say.
That was one guy, 16 games a year, every time he played, UC Davis would get mentioned. If we just had five guys like that, we'd be known across the country.
Mike Morosky was playing for the Niners. He was actually starting for a while. I mean, it's great to get that publicity. It's a nice little you know, perk. It's a nice thing. But the idea that you have to, like, go whole hog.
If you say it's nice, then why don't you want to do it?
I just don't think it's that big a deal when push comes to shove.
I think the truth is you're afraid that it's going to make UC Davis a lot like SC.
Yes.
See? Do you agree with me it could be done correctly?
It could be, and God knows they're not going to listen to this radio program. They're going to do what they're going to do, and maybe they are going to go to Division I. But I shudder at the thought of people looking at a Davis athlete and wondering whether he got there on a scholarship or whether, like it currently is the case, he deserves to be there like anybody else.
Yeah. I hate to say it, Doug, but the Saturday's newspaper says that UC Davis is scheduled to go up in class to Division I, perhaps as soon as fall 2004.
Well... stay tuned. We'll see what happens.
We'll bring you the scandals, too.
As they envelop. All right, let's take a short break. You're listening to Radio Parallax on 90.3 FM.
Ever wonder how television evangelists rake it in, but you sometimes can't get even a single prayer answered? Well, you're as righteous as anyone, but maybe God didn't hear you. The Almighty has a lot to do, and your prayer does compete with countless others. But don't lose faith. We have the answer. The Prayer Antenna. That's right. The Prayer Antenna. You see, when a television evangelist prays with his arms in the air, it's not just cheap theatrics. It actually improves the reception to the man upstairs, just like the rabbit ears on an old TV. The Prayer Antenna takes this even further. It's state-of-the-art nichrome alloy wire runs from your heart to your fingers. It's like broadcasting on a powerful transmitter. The boost is heavenly. Just listen to these testimonials.
The prayer antenna got me a new girlfriend in 2 days. It really works.
After just one use, I got paroled 6 months early.
And that Florida election fiasco, they're about to count the votes. Scary. One night with that prayer antenna, the Supreme Court put my bow in the White House.
Make sure God hears your prayer. Get the prayer antenna. It may be the best decision of your life.
Or afterlife. Life.
Call now. Life. The prayer antenna is only $19.95 plus $6.95 shipping and handling. Operators are standing by. Offer not valid for Jehovah's Witnesses or in New York State. Not for use in other religions. Allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. Your results may vary. Call now.